It's 5 and 10 from Skywatch TV for September 16th, 2019. I'm Derek Gilbert. Topic number 5 today, war with Iran. That appears to be a possibility after a weekend in which an oil processing facility in Saudi Arabia was struck by missiles, apparently fired from drones. United States blaming Iran for the attack. This was an attack on the world's largest oil processing facility, a major oil field inside Saudi Arabia, sparked huge fires and highlights a vulnerable choke point in the world supply of oil. The drone attacks knocked out about 5.7 million barrels a day of production. That's about 5% of the world's total. It was unclear whether anyone was injured. This attack at the Abqaiq, I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it correctly, oil processing facility. Oil futures over the weekend spiked about 20% after news emerged of the attack before settling at $65.49 a barrel. It's about a 9% increase over Friday. On Sunday, President Trump went to Twitter to say that he would authorize the release of crude oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to calm global oil markets. Those releases are rare and used only as a last resort. There are more than 600 million barrels of oil in the SPL. Multiple sources reported that the oil production would be restored within days, but some analysts who looked at drone photos of the damage say that it will take months to get this the damage completely repaired, and that oil prices will go even higher. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing for everyone. For you and me, seeing oil, gasoline prices increase at the pump, not so good. Transportation companies, farmers, etc., not a good thing. However, shale oil production here in the United States really does best when oil is above $80 a barrel. So it is kind of balanced off by the economic plus of the benefit that accrues to, like, the Bakken Formation in North Dakota, the Permian Basin, and so on. The big question here, however, is how the United States and Saudi Arabia will respond to this attack. Referring to the perpetrators, the president continued on Twitter that the United States is locked and loaded and would proceed once Saudi Arabia identified the culprits. So the question is, was this Iran or was this the Iranian-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen who would seem not to have the capability to launch an attack of this size, this scope? It appears, according to some military analysts, that the attack originated in Iraq, which, of course, would be one of the Iranian-backed militia groups there. So would it matter? Was it Iran directly or one of Iran's proxies? Here's the other question. If we're waiting for Saudi Arabia, currently controlled by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, to identify a culprit, MBS might be backed into a corner now by the president's tweet. If he doesn't finger Iran, that might disappoint hawks inside the United States government. If he does, well, the war that former U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton appeared to be pushing for during his time as the National Security Advisor may be on the horizon. Topic number 4, Israeli elections. Israel votes tomorrow. This is an election that amounts to a referendum on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. As we told you last week, the prime minister has promised to annex the Jordan River Valley if he's elected. This is a move that could have explosive consequences there because Palestinians consider the Jordan Valley part of their future state. Well, good luck with that. Over the weekend, Netanyahu escalated his rhetoric against alleged vote fraud in the Arab sector of Israel, telling Army Radio on Sunday that, quote, they stole the election. He was referring back to the election in the spring, claiming that forgeries there cost the Likud party 2 seats in the Knesset, which of course cost Prime Minister Netanyahu his majority, which forced this election tomorrow. An investigation published in Ma'ariv, the newspaper in Israel, on Friday found that out of the 82 incidents of alleged vote fraud reported in the spring, only 2 of the 82 complaints were investigated by police. The head of the Central Elections Committee, Supreme Court Judge Hanan Meltzer, turned down a request from Netanyahu for an emergency meeting on the alleged forgeries. Netanyahu's rival, Benny Gantz, leader of the Blue and White Party, asked Judge Meltzer not to meet with Netanyahu, saying it would interfere in the election. Gantz instead requested a meeting. Meltzer ruled that neither Netanyahu or Gantz would get a meeting with him, saying if they had something to say with him or to him, they could write him a letter. Elections are just as contentious in Israel as they are here in the United States. We'll find out more Tuesday. Topic number 3, the New York Times continues to soil itself. On Saturday, the Times ran a story repeating allegations from a year ago during the Supreme Court justice's confirmation hearings that he was drunk at a party in college and had his parts shoved in a woman's face. The allegation has not been confirmed. Friends of the alleged victim say she has no recollection of the event. And it turns out the man telling the story, allegedly, Max Steyer, represented Bill and Hillary Clinton in the 1990s when Bill Clinton was accused of exposing himself, ironically enough, to a woman in a hotel room. Not coincidentally, at that time, Brett Kavanaugh was on the opposing legal team working on the staff of independent counsel Kenneth Starr, who was investigating the Whitewater and Monica Lewinsky scandals. So, Mr. Steyer's not exactly an objective witness. Oh, but wait, there's more. Turns out the Times reporters didn't actually talk to Mr. Steyer. They talked to two people who say they talked to Steyer. Of course, they're anonymous, unnamed in the story. Those famous anonymous sources that seem to be the source of most of the stuff that gets into the mainstream press about President Trump or anyone allied with President Trump. But it's worse than that. Steyer's story appears in a forthcoming book. This was taken from a forthcoming book called The Education of Brett Kavanaugh. And, of course, the book is now getting a lot of free publicity because of all of this stuff. In the book, as we mentioned, the woman Steyer named as having been supposedly victimized says she doesn't remember the event. In other words, it didn't happen. The Washington Post, no friend of the president, actually turned down this story because it couldn't be corroborated. And the Post has been caught in a number of fake news items over the past couple of years. It's telling that they passed on the story before the New York Times happily published it and then had to clarify. But it's even worse than that. Last week, we missed this because we were working ahead preparing for the True Legends Conference. Wednesday, last week, the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks back in 2001, the Times tweeted this. 18 years have passed since airplanes took aim and brought down the World Trade Center. Airplanes took aim. The airplanes themselves aimed at the World Trade Center. Now, as I said last week, regardless of what actually happened on 9/11, the one thing on which we can agree is that the official story can't possibly be true. World Trade Center Building 7 did not collapse because of the fire. It wasn't hit by a plane, and it was not the first steel-framed building in history to collapse because of a fire. It collapsed into its own footprint because of the simultaneous failure of every column in the building. That's not the official story, thus the official story can't be true. Set that aside. What was just as reprehensible is that the New York Times, which surely is not going to touch anything that they consider a conspiracy theory, won't even touch the official theory, which is that Muslim terrorists aimed the airplanes at the World Trade Center to bring down the Twin Towers and Building 7 as a, you know, after effect. This says a lot about who the New York Times really serves. Now, ultimately, they did have to pull the tweet, delete it, and apologize, saying that they lacked context. Lacked context, you think? The airplanes took aim. This really shows who they're afraid of offending. And I'm not talking about Muslims. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's the powers and principalities behind Islam. Now, clearly, they're not afraid of offending humans because it's obvious they don't care about offending pro-life Christians, which they do on a regular basis. They also, obviously, not afraid of offending God Most High. But, ooh, let's not offend the gods demanding child sacrifice, you know, the slaughter of the unborn, or the principalities and powers behind what is on the verge of becoming the world's largest religion. They're really scary, they think. That, again, this really says a lot about the New York Times editorial board and its slant. And in fact, that's why I wrote this book. Anyway, these examples are just the latest in a long string of examples that confirm that President Trump is absolutely correct when he says the mainstream press in the United States is not the friend of the American people. Topic number two, horror in Illinois. Speaking of the slaughter of the unborn, officials say that 2,246 sets of fetal remains have been found in the home of a doctor who used to perform abortions in the state of Indiana until his license was suspended 4 years ago. Dr. Ulrich Klopfer, who has a home in Will County outside Chicago, passed away on September 3rd. Klopfer performed abortions in South Bend, Fort Wayne, and Gary, Indiana, but the state suspended his license in 2015 after two people accused him of performing abortions on 13-year-old girls without properly submitting records to the state health department. No explanation yet as to why the doctor kept thousands of sets of fetal remains in his home. Coming up, high school student steals a car, doesn't even get detention. That's next on 5 and 10.
Are you ready for the best deals anywhere on Jonathan Cahn's new works? Now, while supplies last, when you purchase New York Times best-selling author Rabbi Jonathan Cahn's brand new book, The Oracle, from Skywatch TV, you'll receive an unprecedented opportunity to save big. Skywatch TV is proud to announce two new collections, The Oracle Collection or The Oracle Collection Expanded with Uncensored DVD Album. In Jonathan Cahn's newest masterpiece, you'll embark on an epic journey to the man known as The Oracle. You will learn about the lost city, angelic guides, the man in the black robe, and the awakening of a dragon. These Jubilean mysteries revealed, and so much more. But that's not all. While supplies last, you'll also receive absolutely free Jonathan Cahn's The Mystery of the Shemitah and the Paradigm, which by themselves hold a retail value of $40. Sold separately, this exclusive offer retails for $64. Yours now for only $35 plus shipping and handling. But wait, now you have the option to upgrade and expand your collection by including the Oracle Uncensored 8-DVD album featuring exclusive material revealed nowhere else. The expanded collection, which includes all three books and the Uncensored DVD album, holds a retail value of $120. Yours now for your donation of only $65 plus shipping and handling. So don't delay. Order the Oracle Collection or the Oracle Collection Expanded with Uncensored DVD Album now. Available at SkywatchTVStore.com or call 1-844-750-4985.
And topic number one, grand theft auto and not even detention. Flint, Michigan, high school teacher there says a student who was supposed to be helping her stole her car, and school officials aren't doing anything about it. Neither are the police, in fact. Special education teacher Mary Toth says she left her purse in a classroom when she stepped out. This was on August 3rd. When she returned, money and keys had been removed from her purse, and her 2015 Chevy Malibu had been removed from the school's parking lot. She says minutes after the car was stolen, she looked at surveillance video with four other administrators, and they all identified the student. But a month later, her car has yet to be returned, charges have not been filed, and the student, a few days later, was back in class. What's worse, Toth says her car is now being used for crimes. Toth says it was spotted on a surveillance video tied to a shoplifting incident at a local Save-A-Lot. Now, you might be wondering why the student is still in class after he'd been ID'd by five school employees. Administration says they can't deprive him of his right to an education. Can't make this stuff up. Well, we had a wonderful weekend this weekend at the True Legends Conference. Thank you. Thank you. If you came up and said hello, busy, busy weekend, but a wonderful gathering, a lot of prayer taking place in the lobby of the Mansion Theater, and that is as important as the information that was shared. Gary Stearman, Steve Quayle, L.A. Marzulli, Dr. Michael Lake, just some amazing stuff. And the information from the ufologists there, Chase Kletsky, Michael Schratt, George Knapp, and Dr. Hugo de Garris, who once again was the hit of the conference. Amazing stuff. But again, it's the gathering, the fellowship, which is why Sharon and I enjoy being part of these conferences. This weekend, I'll be in the Fresno, California area. If you're on the West Coast and you can make it, this will be a smaller gathering, so more of an opportunity to talk with you one-on-one than we had at the Mansion Theater. This is the Look He Is Coming with the Clouds Prophecy Conference, the first of its kind, the first hosted by Cross Point Church in Sanger, California. That's just 15 minutes east of Fresno, assuming Google Maps is correct. Dr. Greg Crocker, the pastor of Cross Point Church, invited me, Paul McGuire, and Troy Anderson, the co-authors of the books The Babylon Code and Trumpocalypse, to basically teach the entire weekend. I will be speaking 6 times over the course of the weekend, and we'll cover everything from Eden to Armageddon. For more information and to reserve your place, I mean, being at a church, seating will be limited, log on to crosspointchurch.net. That's crosspointchurch.net. Then, in just 3 weeks, we'll be in San Antonio for the first Unsealed Scroll Prophecy Conference. Sharon and I honored to be featured speakers along with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, L.A. Marzulli, Pastor Casper McLeod, Pastor Carl Gallups, Messianic Rabbi Zev Porat. We're getting the band from Israel back together with Carl and Zev. Paul McGuire will be there as well, prophecy expert Bill Salas, Brent Miller Jr., Jim Barfield of the Copper Scroll Project, who was also part of our Israel group. We will all be there October 4th through 6th at the Grand Hyatt in San Antonio down on the Riverwalk. For information and to register, whether for tickets or for streaming video, log on to unsealedscroll.org. Use the promo code Gilbert20, Gilbert20, to save 20% at unsealedscroll.org. Then the following weekend, back to California for the Disclosure on the Coast Prophecy Conference. This is Hear the Watchmen coming to Orange County, California. October 11th through 13th, Sharon and I will be there with our colleague from Skywatch TV, Josh Peck, his co-author on the important book Second Coming of the New Age, Stephen Bankar's Russ Dizdar, L.A. Marzulli, Gans Shimura, our good friend who helped us edit the documentary film. Actually, he did all the editing on the documentary Inhuman. He will be there and speaking. Troy Anderson, Paul McGuire, and more. For information and to sign up for tickets or streaming video, log on to hearthewatchmen.com, hearthewatchmen.com, and use the promo code Gilbert20 to save on that. This week on Skywatch TV, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, the first of 2 programs about his brand new book, The Oracle. This is phenomenal stuff. It's another mind-bending discussion based on stuff that he is pulling out of the Bible. It appears there's a template of time that foreshadows modern history. You'll find out more about that as we discuss it with Rabbi Kahn. Our broadcast schedule is posted at the website, skywatchtv.com/channels, or we broadcast on your schedule with Roku, Apple TV, or Amazon Fire Stick. We've got channels for all of those absolutely free, or download our free mobile app that brings all of it right to your smartphone or tablet. Instructions on how to add those to your device at skywatchtv.com. And don't forget, we've got a free audio option that our podcast, Skywatch TV podcast. I mean, if you need to mow the lawn, operate heavy equipment, whatever, you can subscribe to the Skywatch TV podcast also there at skywatchtv.com. My website is derekpgilbert.com, features a link to my my podcast, A View from the Bunker, this week featuring a new interview with Doug Woodward, author of a brand new book, The Biography of the Bible. How did we get the Holy Scriptures that we hold in our hands every week? He talks about the chain of transmission and why we can know it's been accurately preserved. You'll find that link at derekpgilbert.com. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV.